ever felt tired? I'm talking so tired emotionally, physically, and spiritually that you almost couldn't go on? If so, you'll identify with the woman in today's story, as told by the Apostle Luke. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." What we have here is actually a miracle within a miracle. In all three accounts of this story, Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 5, and Luke chapter 6, this miracle takes place within the context of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter. It happens something like this. One day, as Jesus was teaching in one of the villages along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a man named Jairus begged Jesus to come to his house and heal his 12-year-old daughter who was desperately sick. As Jesus then began to walk with Jairus toward his house, hundreds and hundreds of people began to press in upon him, many of them no doubt hoping to get their own miracle, while others were attracted by all the commotion and all of the excitement. Now in the Holy Land, many of the streets are very narrow. In some places, you can almost reach out and touch the buildings on both sides of the street. So we know this scene was really chaotic. Jairus on the one side of Jesus saying, "Hurry, Lord, hurry, hurry, my daughter is dying, hurry, Lord." Then there was the disciples who were trying to form a moving barricade like bodyguards for a celebrity. And they were saying things like, "Back up, move aside, everybody, ho, ha, coming through." And then there were the people. Lots and lots of people pushing and shouting and trying to get close to Jesus. Meanwhile, totally unnoticed, a frail, stooped over, sickly woman slices her way through the crowd. Her arms are thin, and her hand shakes as she stretches it out toward Jesus. Now, she's just a few feet away. And then, no one even notices as she reaches out her hand and touches the tassel on the back of Jesus' cloak. The Bible is not very specific about her problem. The King James Version says she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Other translations speak of a discharge of blood or a hemorrhage of blood. Most commentators think that this was some kind of uterine bleeding. But whatever it was, clearly it was abnormal. She was very, very sick. And it had been going on for a really long time, this incurable sickness. But, believe it or not, that wasn't the worst of it. Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 through 27 contain some regulations for women who had an uncontrollable flow of blood. These verses say that such women were to be considered unclean and defiled for as long as the blood flow continued. How long had this lady's issue of blood continued? For 12 long years. Furthermore, anyone who touched such a woman would himself or herself also become unclean and defiled. This meant that this poor woman had become an outcast in her own village. Here's how G. Campbell Morgan described her situation. For 12 years, this woman had been excommunicated from the temple, from the synagogue, and from every religious place of assembly. She would have been divorced by her husband, shut out from her family, and ostracized by society. Can you imagine? This woman would have had to endure an incurable illness, constant pain, social isolation, financial poverty, and personal humiliation. She would have been forced to walk among the living dead for these 12 long years. In Mark's account of this story, one additional detail is included. Mark chapter 5, verse 26. It says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Doctors of that day simply did not have any effective treatments for this type of thing. It was also no surprise that having been to many doctors, she was now destitute. Apparently, in that day, there were a myriad of unscrupulous doctors. The Mishnah, which is the Jewish oral commentary on the law, contains a frank opinion about doctors of that day. Here's what it said. Camel drivers are most of them proper folk. Sailors are most of them saintly. But the best among physicians are destined for hell. Sorry, Keith. What it said? So apparently there were at least a fair number of unscrupulous doctors in that day. The bottom line is this. Doctors couldn't help her. Her prognosis was grim. Without a miracle, there was no hope. But now, at long last, Jesus had come to her village. Word of his coming spread like wildfire. He's here. Who's here? You know Jesus, the guy from Nazareth that's healing the sick. Although with that, this poor woman decided that somehow, some way, she had to get to Jesus. If only she could touch him. Maybe she wondered aloud, saying, if only I could touch just the hem of his garment. Perhaps that would be enough. Then there's something else at work here. She really did not want to talk to Jesus because she was embarrassed and ashamed of her condition. After 12 years of public humiliation, can you blame her? It was her intent then to simply touch him, receive her healing, and then slip away unnoticed. Finally, she's close enough, and so she reaches out and touches Jesus. The older translations of Scripture refer to the hem of his garment. That's certainly an acceptable translation, but the Greek word probably refers to one of the four tassels that all Jewish men wore on their outer garments. These tassels were visual reminders to obey the commandments of God. At least one of the tassels would have always hung from the back of his garment. It was likely this tassel that the woman touched as Jesus walked by. Now, the text is very clear about what happens next. Two different words are used. According to Luke chapter 8, she was immediately and instantly healed. It was a vast miracle. Jairus is tugging at Jesus and talking and crying all at the same time. Meanwhile, the crowd is so tightly packed into the narrow alleyway that a person literally could hardly breathe. The disciples are trying to do crowd control, but not very successfully. In the midst of this chaos, no one even notices this sickly woman as she slices through the crowd, and no one pays attention as she reaches out her trembling hand. Even Jesus doesn't notice at this point. But as he passes by, she brushes his tassel. And when she does, something moves from her fingers, through her hand, up her arm, into every part of her body. There is an infusion of mighty power that surges through her. In that moment, the disastrous decay of 12 long, horrid years is instantly halted and reversed. She is well. She is healthy. She is whole. Quickly, she turns to leave. She has no desire for attention. With the first real smile on her face that she has had in a long time, she turns to go. But at that exact moment, Jesus stopped and turned and said, "Who touched me?" To Peter and to the other disciples, this seemed like a rather ridiculous question. Hundreds of people were pressing in, and Jesus wants to know who touched him? Everyone was touching him. Besides, what difference could it possibly make? A touch is a touch is a touch. But really, that's not true. In the gospel accounts, there are at least three kinds of touches. First, there's the touch of hostility. That's the touch that the Jewish religious leaders used when they beat Jesus in his trials. Then there was the touch of curiosity. That's the touch of most of the crowd that day. Finally, there's the touch of faith. That is the touch of this woman. Jesus could tell the difference. He knew that someone had touched him in faith. Now, please note that Jesus did not ask, "Who touched me?" for his own benefit. Even before he turned, he already knew who touched him. He's the Son of God. He asked not for his own sake, but for her sake and for the sake of others. He asked for her sake so he could raise the level of her faith. If she would have left at this moment without a further word, who knows what she would have thought? Perhaps she would have thought that, oh my, there was magic power in his clothing. No. Jesus wanted to assure her that it was her faith in him which brought the healing, which made the difference. As to others, he wanted Jairus to know what he could do. And he also wanted the curious onlookers to see his power displayed. Perhaps, most of all, he wanted the crowd to know that he was not ashamed to be touched by the untouchable. This woman took a huge chance by touching Jesus. According to the law, her touch would have made Jesus unclean. But because Jesus was the Son of God, his power overcame her uncleanness. But she didn't know that until she touched him. This is a crucial point. Jesus was not ashamed to be touched by the untouchable. He was not embarrassed to be publicly identified with the outcasts of this world. He didn't care how they smelled or how dirty they were or what anyone else thought. Jesus was at home with sinners. He ate supper with drunkards. He welcomed prostitutes. He touched lepers. And in this story, he was not ashamed to be touched by someone who was unclean. Not ashamed? No, not at all. Delighted, I would say. Delighted that she had the courage to reach out to him, and glad that he could heal her. Not only that, but he also wanted the entire crowd to know what he had done. Why is this so important? Because with Jesus, there are no untouchable people. In Jesus' eyes, everyone is touchable. Everyone. And I say, thank God, because this means that Jesus is also willing to touch me. I need his touch. Verse 46. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." These rather unusual words mean at least this much. Jesus was conscious of God's power flowing out from him and flowing into the body of the woman who had touched his tassel. It resulted in her healing. But before she could be healed, power first had to go out from him. There's a universal truth here. If you follow Jesus and get involved with needy people, you too will become conscious of power flowing out from your life. By definition, needy people lack the strength to face the challenges of life. The only way they can get the strength they need is from those who have more than they do. Ministering to such people means allowing Jesus' power to flow through you to them. Now let's be clear. The power is in Him, not me and not you. But in an amazing way, He chooses to allow us to become His conduit. By grace, He chooses to use us to make a difference in the lives of others. Oh, it will definitely cost you something. Time, effort, money. The truth is, ministering to those in need is exhausting. In fact, Jesus' conduit of ministry will actually cost you more than time and effort and money. You know what it will cost? It will cost you your life. It cost Jesus His life, did it not? So why would we think that we can be used of God without it costing us? It's important, but it's not free. There is a cost to minister to others in Jesus' name. Let's wrap up this section by focusing on two enduring pictures in this story. First, the sensitivity of Jesus. Supposedly, women like sensitive men. Is that true, ladies? We're talking about a man who isn't afraid to care and show his feelings. By this definition, Jesus was the most sensitive man that ever lived. No one ever cared about people the way Jesus did. No one ever felt the pain of others like Jesus did. He is and always will be the most truly sensitive man to walk the face of this earth. As Jesus walked down a crowded street, hundreds of people reached out to Him. Hundreds. And yet, He felt one sickly hand of faith. He felt it. He felt her touch, and He stopped and turned, and He spoke to her. Note that Jesus wasn't too busy or too tired to bother with her. That's good. Nor was He angry with her. Though in society she was nothing, to Jesus she was everything. He spoke to her as if she were the only person in the crowd. At that moment, no one else mattered. So why is this so important? Why is this so significant? Because Jesus also loves you as if you were the only person in the world. He hears you as if you were the only one speaking to Him. He attends to your needs as if your needs were the only needs in the universe. What a Savior. All that touches you touches Him. If it's pain, He feels your pain. If it's sorrow, He feels your sorrow. If it's rejection, He feels your rejection. If it's failure, He feels your failure. Whatever it is that hurts you, He knows and He feels it. If it touches you, it touches Him. That's just the kind of Savior He is. That's what the writer of Hebrews meant when he said, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Thank God it is so. There's another enduring picture in this story. The power of feeble faith. In this sickly woman, we see the amazing power of feeble faith. She didn't have a huge amount of faith. She was very weak. But she did have at least a mustard seed of faith, and through it, God moved the mountain of her illness. This is very instructive. It means that we don't have to agonize about how we come to God. You don't have to cross all your T's and dot all your I's. You don't have to have a theology degree to come to God. You don't even have to be a member of a church. Now, these are all good things, but they're not the issue. If you will come to Jesus in simple faith, even though your faith may be feeble, He will not turn you away. You ever feel so dirty or so sinful that you feel like Jesus wouldn't have a thing to do with you? Do not despair. Jesus is not shocked by your problems. He's seen it all before. And He will not turn you away. How simple it is to come to Christ. Only a touch, and the woman in this story was healed. Not by promising to do better, not by offering to do something for Jesus if He did something for her. She simply reached out her trembling hand, and in an instant, she was healed. That is what feeble faith can do. Coming to Christ is not difficult. If you want to touch Jesus and you want Him to touch you, simply reach out your hand. That's what I did as an 11-year-old boy. I grew up in a nominal Christian family. By nominal, I mean that my parents took me to church when I was young, but at best, my parents were spiritual infants, and so our family life was not so good. For the most part, I hated church. Just telling the truth. I did. I hated church. It was the most boring 2 hours of my entire week. I can remember sitting in worship, looking at the ceiling lights, squinting my eyes and watching the little lines come out. That was the highlight of church for me. Hated church. But there was one thing I liked. Vacation Bible school. You know why I liked VBS? Because they had cookies and Kool-Aid. Miss Barbara, don't ever think your ministry doesn't matter. It made a difference in my life as a child. That cookies and Kool-Aid thing, to me, big deal. You see, there were also games, along with cookies and Kool-Aid. There were crafts and cookies and Kool-Aid. Did I mention that there were cookies and Kool-Aid? I could endure a Bible story or two for some cookies and Kool-Aid. So, near the end of VBS, the pastor shared with the older kids about what it meant to have a personal relationship with Christ. He shared a verse of Scripture, the only one I remember, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. That was news to me. I'd been thinking that I was going to heaven because I was a Sunday school boy. I did good stuff. I mostly obeyed my parents. I was a library aide and a school safety patrol. Right. I could quote John 3:16. Wasn't that enough? No. No, it was not enough, because no one is saved by good works. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Later that day, I went to my pastor's office. He explained even more. He talked about turning away from my ways, my sinful ways, my selfish ways, and turning to Christ to follow him and his ways. So I prayed. Can't remember all that I prayed, but I did ask Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my life. I asked him to make me the person that he wanted me to be. That's how it all began. It was, without a doubt, the best decision of my entire life. Just a touch. That's all it took. So what about you? What about you? If you will stretch out your hand to Jesus, his mighty power will flow into your life too. He can do things in you that you can't do, because he's God and you're not. Why not reach out to Jesus right now? Reach out and touch him so he can touch you. It will be the best decision you could ever make. So let's pray.